This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right. Hello, all you beautiful nerds. Welcome back to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage. It is episode 221, and we are coming to you live from our individual quarantine bunkers here during this crisis. Individual quarantine bunkers.
We are important.
We are practicing good social distancing.
My quarantine bunker's on the second story. I got a nice view for mine. Yeah, this is pretty legit.
You ran all the way across the other side of the pond, like we were talking about. So you got very far away from us on this quarantine thing. Maybe beforehand. I don't remember.
I mean, it might be worse in Europe, but we got national health care. So, I mean, you know, it's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Yeah. Anyways, it's Adam, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, are here. And Bob isn't here because, as we were saying, Bob is in the medical profession and he is working overtime this weekend to help it out. So big shout out to Bob. Big shout out to Gallo, also a Project Nerd who is working like crazy right now in these times. And of course, anybody else, part of Project Nerd, not part of Project Nerd, to all you and your family members listening. Maybe you're listening on the job this week. We thank you for still having to go through because, as we were talking about, kind of we're in quarantine because of the coronavirus. Kind of a big deal, guys. This thing, all I can think of right now is the Anchorman, where this escalated quickly. that's right. For sure.
Well, and so not quarantine. We are all self-isolating.
Yes.
Right. Like let's none of us have coronavirus. So everybody.
Good point.
We got to be careful with language these days, and that's one of them. We're all self-isolating, practicing our social distancing. I guess not even social distancing. I've probably talked more and gamed more with friends in the last week than I have in the couple of weeks before that, for sure. Like when all this stuff's happening, everybody's. You know, we're all connecting again, which is kind of cool, as opposed to we just can't, you know, high five or anything, but
right,
but we all get to still hang out.
We'll share some positives and we'll definitely share what we're doing, but there is definitely, when I was reading just today too, the global impact right now on the environment is very positive. Can we hold it afterwards? We'll see. But real quick, so some numbers worldwide, over 300 at the time of recording, because this is, for those of you that aren't aware, I'm going to put this out there. For our parents that don't understand why we're in such trouble with school loans and people who are coming up into college, this is how you learn about compound numbers. This is what our school interest does. And we're going to teach it to you by way of coronavirus. So at time of recording, there's over 322,000 confirmed cases worldwide, over 13,700 deaths. I know people are still dismissing that as a small number, but it's skyrocketing. And a big thing is, I get people are recovering. But of the 322,000 confirmed cases, less than 100,000 are confirmed recovered. So yeah, self-isolation, as you put it, Adam, is really big, and it's a good deal. We need to be doing it. I think we at Project Nerd have been doing everything we can to support that. And luckily, we can entertain from afar and we can connect like this now. As you just mentioned, you still game with people. It's the 21st century. We're podcasting here. We're going to have a big Project Nerd hangout next weekend where we're all going to connect online. And I've got some friends, some old coworkers that were like, hey, we haven't seen each other in a while. Let's throw on a movie and connect via video chat and just have a few drinks from our own living rooms. We're getting creative with it.
Yeah. Imagine if this happened in 1990 instead of 2020. Like, no internet. You got just what you have in your house. You're like, there wasn't even like video on demand through your cable box or anything like that. Like, if you were lucky, you had those cool premium channels like HBO and Showtime and those kinds of things. But like,
yeah, we'd all be watching 24 hours of news right now because that's all that would be on.
Oh, yeah. Everything would have been taken over because that's the only way you could get information. Like, geez.
Right.
Wow. Be on AOL chat rooms.
Oh, man.
Wait, Mom, I'm using the internet. We need to call your grandmother and check on her. Get off the phone.
I would actually probably be playing, what do you say, 95? I would probably still be playing one of the games I'm playing right now, which is text-based internet games.
Yeah, I went with 90, like,
oh,
way early.
Yeah, that's what I mean, guess like, technically.
Internet being in most people's
houses. I'm gonna
live, we didn't have internet in my town by then, so yeah, probably.
I'm going to live in 95 with Tyler. That way I can rewind my Tombstone VHS and then put in Field of Dreams next. So that's what we'll do.
Did you guys have an automatic rewinder? Did you have to do it on your VCR and just
No. No, my parents weren't rich. Are you coming from all that money over there with your automatic rewinders? That stuff was reserved for places like Blockbuster and stuff.
No, you had to have one of those.
Charged you a fee.
Couldn't afford the money to buy the replacement VCR when it broke from doing all the rewinding.
Yeah, because it wore down, I guess. I don't know.
That's what
I don't know. I remember when we got like a TV with the VCR in it, like this 19-inch, the full-size living room TV that it was 19-inch back in the day. Kids don't understand. The one that when my stepdad moved in and he had the VCR in the bottom of the TV already, like, what?
Oh, that's some bougie madness. Shit right there.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. And then I remember like the first time we upgraded like 27-inch TV for the living room. Oh my goodness, that was it. We were the talk of the town. All the friends were coming over.
Yeah. You know, my whole life, my parents had the same television until I was like, I mean, legitimately like 25 years of my life, they had the same TV and it was set up for antenna. So we actually had a adapter so it could accept coax once we got cable. Like, I mean, and that was what I played video games on growing up. Like
the two prong screw it in, right?
Yeah, the UHF adapter. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious.
A beast. But then this TV must have weighed 800 pounds.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was cool. 20 inches or something like 22 inches, something totally normal.
Right. So I, with my graduation money from high school, I bought myself a giant 36-inch tube TV. And I remember it took three of us to carry this 36-inch TV up the stairs in the dorms because it was so big. And that was the biggest TV in the dorms. So everybody was like in our room playing the video games. 36-inch tube, three people to carry that thing up the stairs. That was
right.
Nuts.
Now you could probably single-handedly carry a 42-inch.
Oh yeah,
flat screen, easy. No problem. Just
easy,
easy peasy.
Easy.
I sold TVs back when they all weighed. I remember like having to regularly move the 32-inch Sony Trinitron television with the flat panel of glass that was like 3.5 inches.
Oh, the flat screen one, yeah. Oh,
flat screen CRT tube TVs, yeah. And like the 32 of it weighed like 270 something. The 36 weighed like had to move them all the time, and it was the
goodness
worst.
Gracious, man, those entertainment centers really
were hefty. I had that 32 inch I bought when I worked at Sears, and I remember like eventually one day I just moved to a new house and said nope, it's not coming with me, because I kept it forever. Specifically, it sat in one corner of the living room.
That went the landlord. Yep.
It sat in one corner of the living room, and its only purpose was it was hooked to the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 64 and like the old systems. It looked great on those. Those look great on it. And then finally, I think when I moved to Kansas City, I was like, no, this isn't coming.
Right. Yeah. Nope. Don't need that anymore. Yeah. So crazy. I guess reminiscing with friends is definitely one of the ways to help pass your self-isolation quarantine, whatever you are, wherever you are in this place of it. I know, Adam, you're overseas. It's not quite a shelter in place order, but you guys are starting to shut down non-essential businesses.
Yeah, so I live in London, and London is a little more accelerated than the rest of the UK. So Italy, obviously, completely shut down. Spain, also, large portions of it are shut down.
No, entire country now, yeah.
But they've done the whole thing now. So
yeah, that's where my day job's headquarters is.
So. Oh, good God. I've avoided news all weekend, just checking in with friends and that kind of stuff. So here we went Friday. They closed down pubs, which will let you know how serious the UK is taking it.
Oh, that's going to be rough there.
And then, yeah, they've advised inside London, so inside the M25, which kind of goes all the way around the city and all of its boroughs, to, you know, don't go out if you don't have to. Grocery stores, pharmacies, which they call chemists here, those things are open. And then food delivery is still going. All of them, we've got Deliveroo and Just Eat and a couple others. They've all gone to contactless delivery. So they get these little boxes and they set those down and they put your food on it. And then they ring your doorbell and then they go away and wait in the car. And you open your door and you get your food out and you wave at them and they take off. So they've all gone to that. But so you can do all that kind of stuff still. And you can technically still go out. So like the underground is still running, the tube system here, the buses are all still running, but they're all dropped way, way, way down. And they're technically for only essential personnel, key personnel, that kind of thing.
Right. We're very similar here in Colorado, except dispensaries and liquor stores are considered self-sustaining or essential services. So those will all remain open.
Yeah.
Governor
trying
Polis,
times,
man, right? Governor times. Polis on Friday actually suspended the application for liquor license. So any restaurant that serves food can now deliver liquor and alcohol. So in theory, I could go through Chick-fil-A drive-thru and get some alcohol with it. Obviously, Chick-fil-A is not going to do that. But in theory,
you picked the one restaurant that would definitely not do it.
That's why I said it. That's why I said it, because it's as crazy as it sounds, that's the truth about it. They could hand me a bottle of vodka with my chicken, spicy chicken sandwich, and they would not have any repercussions. I think it's a suspension for 60 days. And then after that, it'll probably be reevaluated. But yeah, theaters had closed down in select states. They were starting to close down, but then most of them made the decisions just nationwide. Regal did it first, AMC, Draft House, all those ones, the big ones. AMC though, and we'll probably spend a good few minutes on all the impact of theater business because of what's happening around it. And of course, a lot of other businesses, but I think for me is what it really hit is that 2 weekends ago, we went and grabbed brunch in a small group. We hung out in a small group still. So we weren't like in the middle of everything, but we were still kind of smaller socializing. And then we get to this past weekend and I'm sitting here on Saturday at 8 and my streaming basically doesn't work because as I was talking about before we started recording, we're on Comcast and it's so congested. And I'm just thinking, man, for the first time in my entire life, anybody in my area is sitting at home on a Saturday night because there's no other options. I mean, that just blew my mind. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, this is real life right now. Like it doesn't, to me personally, outside of just being stuck at home, because I can do my job from home. We can do Project Nerd from home. My kids are on spring break anyways, right? I would have been working from home for spring break anyways. So when I'm sitting here on the daytime, it's like a normal, but then when I look outside or I pull up, like you said, social media or the news, and it's like, wait a second, this world is completely different right now. It's crazy. But Tyler, you guys are even getting a little, even more strict there. So
obviously I live in a city that's spread over two states, which always makes some of the logistics of it a little bit weird. And then the two states themselves, like Kansas has been pretty aggressive with, like, they were the first state in the union to say, we're done with school for the rest of the school year. Like all schools closed. We're not going back to school no matter what happens, which upset a lot of people. Missouri has been a little bit shyer around it, but it's gotten to the point now where the amount of spread in the metro area. So like the counties and cities that comprise the greater metro area. So Jackson County, Wyandotte County, Johnson County. So half Kansas, half all those have gotten together, and starting tomorrow night, all of the metro area will be under a shelter in place order. So no leaving the house to go places that aren't essential. So no more. You can go get groceries, you can go get gas, you can go to the doctor, you can go to the pharmacy, but that's about it. We'll see what happens. Because like you said, like Saturday, like I can do very little work from home. I can do some work from home, but mostly I've had pretty empty days of playing games and being lazy, and I need to make a schedule and going out for walks and stuff. But like last night I went over to a friend's house. There's only like four of us. We played board games just to like do something. And we probably won't be able to do that anymore starting tomorrow night and just all sit at home alone.
Right. So, and I think that's heading to the rest of us piece by piece. I think I was talking to my son about it, 'cause it's, you know, and we got lots of heads up. We were talking about this, you know, rumors as well as active duty military or National Guard friends who were getting bits and pieces of information and forwarding it on to us as well. I think it's so hard. The complexity, our country's a lot larger than Italy. We'll just put it that way. We'll just make it that easy. It's a lot harder to shut down a country this size as opposed to some of the European sized countries. I know Argentina, which is quite large, you know, landmass wise too, has gone on full shelter in place as well. I work with a number of people there in my day job, my career. I call it day job because it's, I love you more, Project Nerd, always and forever. But it's, we can, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to do it, we can work from home on that job. So nothing is slowing down. And we service the medical industry. So it's been quite busy, obvious reasons. But yeah, this is a very different world. And even if I wanted to go out, like right now, the places I would go to are Best Buy. Even this weekend, moved to completely Adam with the food delivery. That's what Best Buy is doing now here. You pull up, you tell them you're there, they're going to drop it on the curb, let you pick it up and take it. And they've closed the doors. Nobody's allowed inside. I think Barnes & Noble will probably be struggling more now. They initially just pulled all their seating areas. They just put all the seats in the back. They're like, there's nowhere to sit now. You come get your book. You stay away from the other people here and you leave. Like, that's what you got to do now. And now I don't, like, those are the types of businesses that I think are going to see it. You know, Barnes & Noble was already one of those in an industry that's already kind of teetering on the edge there. GameStop closed all their stores, I think, in a strategy to probably allow this to impact them even more. So now they can look for, you know. Well,
GameStop was,
GameStop
was already like on the shit list of everyone.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
Trying to claim they were an essential retailer and all their employees going online complaining about not getting enough cleaning supplies and stuff like that. So I don't know. There's a lot of big chains that'll get hurt, but I think it'll be fine. It's some of the more like,
that's your mom and pop shops. Yeah.
One of my favorite places, literally, and if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard me talk about it. One of my favorite places in the entire world is Powell City of Books in Portland, Oregon. It's this amazing family-owned bookstore that takes up like an entire city block, and it's like five stories and it's beautiful. And they shut down like 2 weeks ago because the Pacific Northwest was one of the first places in the U.S. to get hit, and like basically sent all the workers home. Like their online store is still sort of working, but there's a good chance they may never open again, and that would be a travesty. That is a institution. But a lot of those kind of places, like local restaurants, local bars, can't survive this. Won't bounce back.
And we're talking a lot about the restaurants and bars online, you know, wait staff getting laid off, but it's, you know, we have a friend here that works with Project Nerd that works at a furniture store. People aren't rushing into furniture stores right now. And it was a little local one. So they just laid off like a whole bunch of the staff too. Left Hand Brewing, which I mean, everybody knows Left Hand. It's obviously not like an Anheuser or anything like that, but we know some people that we're like, okay, they initially just closed the doors to the serving room and all that type of stuff. But now they're even laying off members of the marketing team because who are they marketing to right now? You know, and the impact that's going to be for, you know, where they're not selling TV commercials. They're not paying for Facebook ads. They're not doing this, that it's the dominoes are going to fall there. But yeah, it's, I was telling my daughter, it's like, you know, some of these restaurants that are good are adjusting to the delivery only or the curbside and stuff like that. But there's places like, I think sushi places, people aren't ordering a lot of delivery of sushi right now. So some of their favorite places may not even be existing in the 3 months, 6 months, whenever we get out of this, right? Like it's just going to be a dramatically different world on the other side of this. And I guess all we could do really is hope that people learn from it. Crossing my fingers, really hoping maybe some people will at least, but it'd be great if the greater part of the world actually learned from it as well. But let's focus on the nerdy side of it here. Actually, I really wanted to talk about this. This is the movie theater industry, because obviously short term right now, AMC CEO has come out and said, we have literally $0 coming in right now. There is nothing we do that allows you to. We've had to put all our Stubbs stuff on hold. We've had to do all this, closed all the theaters. The person in charge of lobbying for theaters is obviously there this in Washington, D.C. right now, trying to get them on that bill that is being pushed through. But while all this is happening and the landscape is changing there, the movie studios themselves are trying to figure out ways to adjust as well, because we're heading into the busy part of movie season, right? We had James Bond, Mulan, Wonder Woman now, all these huge movies that were either getting pushed back or canned. And now we're seeing a lot of the ones that were already in theaters or pretty much right at theaters go straight to on demand. And Disney put Frozen 2 out early, Star Wars going out early, Onward is on demand already for 2 weeks, and then on Disney Plus already. And if this is successful, we're going to see The Lovebirds, the new Kumail Nanjiani movie, go straight to Netflix now. Paramount just sold the rights to it to Netflix. If all this is successful, the studios might be like, we're going to change some terms here with you theaters, and the theaters already get crap into the stick on this.
Yeah, no, they got serious kind of issue, because so we watched The Invisible Man last night, you know, was just in theaters, just hit. You got Elizabeth Moss, you got good name people in there, people you'll recognize, big movie, and really enjoyed it, you know, and pretty good deal. So that's one of the three or four that's on Amazon Prime. So you have to have Prime. So they call it Amazon Prime Cinemas. You have to have Prime so to have get access to them. And then you rent it for about the price of one ticket to the theater. Maybe two tickets to the theater, something like that. I mean, it's a decent price.
Like one and a half, yeah.
Yeah. So it's £15 here. And if you went at night, it'd be like $13.99 to get in one ticket to the movie or something.
Right.
Like
that. So stateside, these are going for $19.99, which exactly if you were going on a date, if it was the two of you, you'd go over $20 for that anyways.
Right. Easy. And the benefit is I got it for 48 hours. So we watched it last night. We might go downstairs and watch it when I'm done here again for that price. Like when I rent movies online, it's always $4 or $5 or whatever. And you get it for a day or 2 days and then like, oh, that's not so bad. But I mean, if it's a brand new movie, that's not bad. You know, it's definitely cheaper than going to the movies. We got popcorn at the house. What more do you need? I don't have a big screen and Dolby Atmos or any of that kind of stuff, but it sounded good. It looked good on my TV. It's interesting. I'm really curious to see where this might go, because there's a lot of movie theater companies who are definitely screwed. None of them have cash on hand because they're all trying to grow and get bigger and always buying new properties and doing all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see who can survive this and what the industry looks like afterwards.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if you didn't see a bunch of these movie companies, if they can't bounce back, get bought by the movie production companies themselves. Because like a lot of those rules got loosened recently because of like Netflix was able to buy a theater basically to show their movies. Some of those rules got like, there's still some rules about like you can't, you know, own the theater and own the movies themselves. But I would not be surprised. This crisis causes a lot of
rules to change.
Well, not rules to change, causes, we live in an age of like corporate consolidation where like what used to be 50 companies is now two, or what used to be 100 companies is three or one in some cases. I feel like as bad as that has been, or as widespread as that has been up to this point, this could end up exacerbating it or accelerating that process. A great
so you deal. Think like AMC gets bought by the parent company NBC Universal or whoever, exactly. Whoever's in charge of that now.
Exactly.
And so they're not the same company, but they're owned by the same people.
100%.
Does he just buy all of them and call it looking good?
Exactly. I mean, that's the fear. I mean, that's the fear is like, do they just go ahead and buy them all? Or do you spin off some company, you know, does Disney spin off some company or someone with a lot of money spin off a company and then just go and buy AMC and Regal and Drafthouse and buy them all up? And then there's just like one company owns every movie.
Now
company.
We know what Bob Iger is getting ready to do and why he retired all of a sudden.
His role. Right? He no just longer CEO. I'm going to be working on something. I'm not leaving Disney because I got to work on something else here, but I'm not going to be. Yeah, makes sense. I think I see a lot more of it being the way of AMC has kind of always been behind the curve on the new like a craft theater style, I guess you would put it, like craft beer almost. Like it's the full service restaurant in the theater, the full bar, the movie experiences. The Draft House is great at these, right? Like showing the Ninja Turtles with the pizza party or stuff like this that's unique. AMC has added more varieties of food that you can get at the concession stand or has added a bar in a lot of their places, but they're still behind the curve on that. I see the restaurants like AMC or, you know, Regal, a lot of those ones that haven't been catering to that really disappearing. And I think we'll have less theaters as early as a year from now. And most of them, the ones that are going to survive or they're going to be around are going to be these ones that are they get revenue off of other things. Because was it an opening weekend with the theaters itself gets less than 5% pull of the tickets typically, especially on big releases. I mean, the reason we've seen Draft House just blow up so well or these other ones is because they're making their money off the food in the bar. That's where the money's coming in.
And you would be surprised, like AMC is actually getting really good at those things. They just haven't spread it worldwide. Like the AMC that I go to for the vast majority of my movies, I have a lot of movie theater choices within my general area, but like the main one that I go to with my friends is the one literally down the street from AMC's corporate headquarters. And it's quite possibly one of the nicest movie theaters, obviously, in the world, because it's where they test out all the new stuff. So you walk in and there's an amazing bar and a nice restaurant and a bunch of theaters and a couple IMAXs and a couple Dolby Digitals and all that kind of stuff. But I think you're right. They got in on it too late. But a lot of the AMC.
Well, they had so many locations that were already built. Like you would have to redo so many.
Exactly. And there's quite a few AMCs in the greater metro area that have that. And AMC has bought some theaters. So there was this one theater in Overland Park, which is basically a suburb of Kansas City in the south. And it was called Cinetopia. And it was this really nice, super amazing restaurant and a GSXL theater. It was a really nice theater, but no one went to it. It was a really weird spot. They had a nice wine bar. They had this bar upstairs. It was a really, really nice theater. We went there a lot. But every time we went there, it was practically empty. Like I probably could have walked in and seen movies without a ticket every day and no one would have noticed. And it finally went under. And then AMC bought it and is then doing, like keeping a lot of it, but changing a lot of stuff. So, but how much of that has to just come to a screeching halt now is the question, I guess.
Well, and all those acquisitions are, that's the thing that's the problem, right? They don't have the liquidity to survive this. They're not sitting on a couple hundred million in cash. They're sitting on a couple hundred million in debt.
And they're coming off
those bills keep coming, right? Yeah. I mean, it's
well, that, and I think that's where I say is, and AMC will probably still be one of the names that's out there, like you said, whether it's owned by somebody else or not through all this. But I think the amount of locations they have, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the summer, there's a lot of these 24 screen theaters or these maybe even the smaller ones that just aren't in as big of markets that are. They're just empty now. They're not going to reopen those, right?
Yeah, you like, cut those small ones. Right, because Tyler's got, what, 7 AMCs that you could get to in probably 30 minutes, Tyler, or something like that?
I mean, off the top of my head, there's the one on Ward, there's the one I go to in Town Center, there's the one at Legends, there's one at...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Cut that number in half right away, right? Like
2, 3, 4, 5...
Straight up.
One,
cut it in half.
2, 3, 4,
consolidate
five,
your staff
six,
and call it good.
7, 8. So, to be fair... I live as close to the center of like the metro area as you can without like living downtown, and I can get to at least 8 or 9 AMCs that are less than 20 miles away.
And it's probably the same story here in Denver too. I mean, it's because it's a metro area like that. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean,
you'll cut that number in half at least, and you'll probably keep the big ones, Iggy, because you can run those for the same number of people as you could probably a seven.
That's very true. Theater, yeah. So.
Yeah. I also live less than 10 miles away from AMC's like corporate headquarters in Kansas City. So
yeah, it's definitely a thing that I think will be changed. And the rumors started flying this past week that Wonder Woman was going to go straight to on demand, which, I mean, releasing, you know, you mentioned a significant horror movie, The Gentlemen, onward with Disney, at least they had a few weeks in the theater, right? To do something this large after Bond, Mulan, and all them had been pushed back would have been huge. Warner Brothers was quick to dismiss it, say, no, we're pushing, probably looking around August right now for a theatrical release if everything goes back to normal. But if it would have been the case, I think that would have been interesting to see if one of these studios does decide to take one of their, you know, huge flagship titles and try it and see what they get out of it. Because if it's super positive results, then they have all the bargaining chips when the theaters come back into play.
Yeah, and yes and no. Like, this is an unsustainable business model. Like, you can't expect to make the kind of money on an on-demand release when everyone is forced to sit at home. Like, you can, like, the minute everyone's able to go back out in public, they're going to get out the house and be like, and
it's fair.
It maybe makes sense now. Maybe this is the chance to like really push it and grow the business a little bit, but you can't, if they did that and it made $1 billion, you can't bank that situation would confluence of events would ever arise again.
I think it's a really good point. It's a really good point. And the point of too, is the, especially those first couple months after we get out of this, like, everybody's going to be like, I'm going out every Friday night.
How crazy is August going to be?
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts out there.
I mean, you can't have 8 new releases every week, can you?
I don't
know. How many conventions are there going to be every weekend in August?
Well, in August is already, they talked about the ones that are a lot of group of people in our circles go to. They're usually spread out. Now there's like 4 of them in the span of a month between like Gen Con, 2 Kansas City shows, including Planet Comic Con's reschedule, and then Dragon Con, all within a month of each other. That's like insane.
It's insane. Yeah, the fact that there's a good chance that Gen Con and Planet Comic Con could be on the same weekend. Like, I will leave town and miss Planet Comic Con to go to Gen Con would be insane to me.
And that's the same with Colorado Festival Productions here, the smaller film festival company we work with here in Colorado, and we cover all 5 of those events. You can see over the next few weeks, the interviews coming out from the Longmont, the Front Range one, was next in 2 weeks was supposed to have their Lions Film Festival. And now they had to push it back to October. And the best weekend they could find was just 2 weekends after their Boulder one. Lions is just north of Boulder for those that aren't familiar with the area. So within 2 weeks of each other, they're going to have 2 small film festivals. They're definitely going to impact each other. Like, it's going to be an impact on each other.
I don't think anything's really going to be the same again, right? Like, I mean,
I think they'll hold their own. They'll continue to be the same party jackassery show.
You son of a bitch. No, but I mean, think about it. Like, movies, we're talking about movie theaters, but it's almost obvious to me that they were kind of one of the hardest hit, earliest hit things. Because think about every time you've been in a movie theater and when it's been crowded, and invariably the person who's sitting directly behind you, and it's always the person directly behind you, just loses their shit coughing. And you're just sitting there like, oh, I'm going to be showered with germs for the next 2 hours. And I'm not going anywhere because I paid too damn much money to get into this theater. But you know, like, just thinking about it, how many times has that happened to you? And of course, when a pandemic kind of starts, your first thought is going to be like, yeah, let's go sit somewhere where I can't leave for 2 hours. And I know the person behind me is going to cough. They're going to do it. They're just going to. Everybody does. Sorry.
And they always sit behind you too. I was telling somebody else the story of when I did have the AMC A-list one, it was about a year ago when Apollo 11, the documentary, came out. So I went like weekday, 2 p.m., 3 of us, like when I picked my ticket in this giant IMAX theater, there's one other person. And by the time the movie starts, some person comes walking all the way up the steps. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Comes and sits right behind me. And I'm like, this is a theater where you had to pick your seats. So on that screen, you saw my seat highlighted. I was here by myself, going to do a movie thing by myself, middle of the day, get away from everybody in the world, right? Like, that type of movie going experience. and you sit right behind me with your giant ass box of popcorn and start munching as loud as you can. I was like, yeah, so you know that, whether it's coughing, whatever it is, that if I go to the theater, even if it's empty, somebody's going to sit right next to me, right behind me, and be obnoxious and germ me and whatever. Yes, I don't know. But it's insane. It is definitely crazy. I think the biggest news we talked about in this is obviously you're talking about delays, pushback. So Wonder Woman, it's rumored right now for August. Mulan and James Bond have no new release dates, just indefinite. Fast and Furious 9, they just pushed it back to next year. They just gave it a whole year, which, I mean, that franchise has made so much money at this point. It doesn't, they can already start filming the next one and it's still, they know they're going to make another sequel. So it's no big deal. And then of course the big news just this weekend that we posted over on projectnerd.com was the Lovebirds Paramount pulling it from theaters and selling the rights to it to Netflix. No confirmed date, but very likely that they're still going to release it Friday, April 3rd on Netflix, which would make sense. They don't have to change any of the marketing materials. You don't have to do anything there. But actually, while we're talking about it, head on over to projectnerd.com. We've got all kinds of cool articles. So another big thing we talk about in this geek world is the conventions. Obviously, we're just talking about them getting rescheduled, pushback. So many people we know, artists, independent comic creators, prop makers, makeup special effects people live on these convention circuits. And they're sitting at home right now, hoping to live on you reaching out to them and buying their prints online, buying their comics online, getting commissions, doing all this. We got to support our community, or that world's going to be completely different too, because they can reschedule the Comic Cons and they can get the celebrities there again in 6 months. But the rest of it, those indie creators, Artist Alley, all that, those people all had to go find new jobs and have to do something different. They may not be there. So check them out over on Project Nerd. Even on the top navigation now, we have the creative spotlights there for you to see every day, at least every weekday. We're sharing a new creative spotlight. Everybody from our pals at Wolfgar Weapons over to DeviantApp Illustrations to so many others. Check it out. Really cool things happening. One really cool is Pixie Dust Co. They're dressing up as princesses because that's how they make their money, is they go to kids' birthday parties and events as princesses. Those aren't happening right now. So they're reading your kids' bedtime stories, or even having paid for one-on-one video chats with them as Disney princesses. Pretty cool offerings there too, which if you're stuck at home with your kids, there you go. There's 20 minutes. You can give them some time with the princess, so you don't have to worry about it. But check out all the ways we can support those people for sure. I mean, you need it right now. You need comics to read. You need books to read. Let's support these people. I figured Tyler's getting a lot of reading done right now.
I have. I wish I had done more. I'm going to hear once I start getting burned out on sitting in front of my computer all day, I'll probably do nothing but read all day. But I've been binging some television and playing a lot of video games. And I broke down and bought Animal Crossing. So that's the ultimate time sink of a video game. Like, that's the perfect game to come out during these times, because it's such a, like, you need all day, every day, just go do a thing and sink some time into it. So I've been doing that. And like I said, doing some, before the shelter in place got called down, we went and did some board gaming, but there definitely are going to be some books read in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
I think I'm not surprised there. I've got some new ones on the shelf too, and I've been doling out some too that have there. I started reading this past week, The Inherent Vice. I haven't even seen the movie yet, so I'm gonna check out the book first and then check out the movie, see how it goes. The movie seemed to be mixed results, but the book seemed to have a pretty popular following.
Well, that movie's enjoyable.
Is it? Critically, it was mixed. I don't know. Again, yeah. I hadn't seen it yet.
I think I checked out some of the stuff, and I remember people being like, oh, it's like trying to be too clever for its own good or whatever. And I was like, man, just watch the movie. It's really entertaining.
I mean, anyone who said that trying to watch the movie has never read a Thomas Pynchon novel.
Yeah.
Like, and for someone who doesn't read a lot, jumping in straight into some Pynchon is,
I like how we bold, still, like Tyler tack. Still decides that I don't read ever, like that I don't have a book constantly.
You definitely, I'm not saying that you don't read. I know that you read. I'm just saying that Pynchon's not for everyone. And that's a deep into the pool to jump into.
It is. But I loaned out Lamb, my copy of Lamb, Tyler. I figured you'd appreciate that.
I do appreciate that. And, I have given out so many copies of that book that I never got back.
Right. So I also loaned out my Year of Rest and Relaxation. That was an interesting one that got recommended to me by a website because you know, that's what the internet does, is spies on you. But hey, you're interested in BoJack Horseman? Here's some books you might want to read. And that was one of them, and really enjoyed it. So thank you, Google, for spying on me. I appreciate it. Picked up a nice book that was fun and handed that one out.
But fine, if you let them do it, Iggy, you agree to it.
You
all.
Could turn. Oh yeah, no, I gave up. I gave up privacy for convenience years ago. I'm not worried about it, but I could still make jokes about it. I'm never gonna stop that. So, and even if you turn the app's location services off, that's always my favorite one. Don't use location services when an app's not in use. And then I pull up somewhere and a screen pops up. Hey, Google Maps noticed you were at this location. Do you want to review it? It's like, I don't remember telling you that I was there, but okay. So anyways, rambling on. I'm sure Bob's got plenty to do. He's still picking up all his movies on a weekly basis. Too bad he's not here. He could talk about the collection and all that he's watching. But you mentioned binge watching stuff. So my kids are excited. The new Shaun the Sheep series is on Netflix because they did pick up the rights to that and have released their new series. The new documentary of, what is it, the Tiger documentary that Netflix dropped this weekend? Oh my God,
Tiger King?
Yeah, Tiger King.
We were watching that before we got started.
Right?
Oh, it is crazy.
I got a group of friends going nuts about that one. And then, of course, if you hadn't gotten to it, Altered Carbon season 2 had dropped kind of right at the beginning of this. I haven't gotten to season 2 yet. I've been introducing somebody to a lot of this stuff that I'd already watched. So I did get to sit through Umbrella Academy again, which I won't complain about. Scott Pilgrim, you know, Losers, all that type of stuff. It's welcome to my
that's
world.
All quality. How good are those dance scenes though in Umbrella Academy?
They're great, but when you bring a muggle into the geek world, you get to enjoy all these things over again, so it's fantastic.
Does anyone know anyone who's watched season 2 of Altered Carbon? Like, I've been holding off on watching it just because I liked the first season, but there was a better TV show in there that I wish they had made. Like, it kind of
right no I get what you're rails, saying
but I don't know. I'll tell you, the one that I've heard nothing but good things about is the new
I'm not okay with this. Yeah.
So a friend of mine just finished watching that and said it was just amazing.
Said it's like John Hughes takes on the superhero genre. That's what I heard too. So
yeah, really, I mean, one of my friends would not shut up about it. So I think that might be my next binge.
That one, I got that one on my list. I still got to get to Amazon's Hunters. That dropped right at the
Hunters
beginning of
this
as well.
So I watched that like right when it came out, just because I kept seeing those weird trailers for it. It's okay.
I've heard that multiple times now.
That's the best. There's some really good actors in it. There's some really good scenes in it. There's some really fun stuff in it. But as a series as a whole, it's perfectly okay.
I'm going to say this, and I don't know how you guys are going to react. Pacino's lost his draw for me.
Like, I will say
he's not the tentpole for that thing for me. It's like, meh.
Oh, no, and he's by far not the main character in it, but I will say that this is probably the most acting I've seen him do in a movie in probably a decade. Like, he has to do an accent. He has to play, like, a character who has he's not playing Pacino as another person.
In The Irishman, it was Pacino. You had De Niro and Pesci doing great jobs as these characters, and Pacino didn't make the movie worse, but it was Pacino being Pacino.
So I will say that is the best. I'll tell you one thing that just popped up in my feed that I really want to watch is there is a animated movie based in the Altered Carbon world that just popped up called Resleeved. Altered Carbon Resleeved. It's got a very...
Where is that? Is that on Netflix too?
It's on Netflix. It literally just popped up in my feed like today or yesterday. I don't know when it actually went there, but it's like animated. And it's just like another... It's a Kovacs story. So like Takashi Kovacs is like the character, but it's very... Did you watch Love, Death, Robots? Or...
Right, yeah.
It's like... kind of 2D animated. It's like cel-shaded 3D animation. So it's 3D, but it's cel-shaded with paint. It's almost, the animation style is a weird mix between like, think like Borderlands, the video games, mixed with Love, Death, Robots, mixed with,
okay,
I know your favorite thing, Enter the Matrix. Like, there's a lot. The animation style is very interesting and weird, but
Tyler has me typecasted so well. I love it. What I was gonna say though is,
you love Enter the Matrix.
I love the Matrix stuff. I love the Matrix stuff.
Well, I mean that anthology.
You're thinking
of the
Animatrix. The Animatrix. Enter the Matrix was the game, which I also enjoyed.
Animatrix. Which I also enjoyed. You love Animatrix.
Anyways,
nobody liked that game. Get the hell out of here.
Whatever, whatever. You guys. I was gonna say Netflix. If anybody was prepared for all of us being on house arrest, it was Netflix, because they were already doing whatever they could to throw content out with Disney Plus dropping last fall. So they were like, here it is, here it is, here it is. So they are dropping stuff left and right already. Adam, you're really excited.
I get Disney Plus on Tuesday. Yes.
Tuesday. There you go. Was it supposed to be later?
I don't think so. No, it was always supposed to be end of March.
Okay. Well, they pulled their France release. But they pulled back the France. Yeah, Disney Plus was supposed to get ready to do the France, but they're already, you know, governments are already talking about the bandwidth of all this stuff. So they're like, no, oh, sorry, France, you guys are going to have to wait longer still.
They better not.
There's a lot of older movies.
I didn't see anything about you guys, but you guys are already pretty much there. So I feel like everything would have been ready.
Yeah, I think the UK's, there's nothing changed there. And when you finally get to watch The Mandalorian, that's, I'm so excited for you.
I am so excited. And being caught in place, like, I'm going to watch
all of it at once.
All of it at once, and all of the Clone Star Wars stuff.
Clone Wars is there
at the beginning. We're gonna do Mandalorian first. Period.
Obviously.
Even though it's out of order. I'm gonna do it first, but then I'm gonna do everything else in order the way it's supposed to occur. So excited.
Granted, who knows when they'll be able to go back to filming or even cut it, but has anyone seen that casting news for season 2 of The Mandalorian?
Yeah, we put it on this little website called Project Nerd, actually.
I'm aware, but I need us to talk about it because Ahsoka is like a real honest to goodness person in a real life action. I mean, a real human person now.
Rosario Dawson.
I think it's amazing casting.
I'm down for it.
I'm excited about it. But yeah, I'm excited for you to get to watch The Mandalorian. I don't know, there's a lot, but Netflix, they put a lot of old movies up recently, so like Groundhog Day and Shawshank Redemption, and there will be like a lot of old classic. Goodfellas is on Netflix right now.
I love what's trending right now, though. My kids wanted to watch it. I'm like,
pandemic.
If you guys really want to watch 2012 Outbreak, Pandemic, like all those are the big trending items.
Oh, I see Outbreak right up there. I also like a lot of my friends are into them just because they love it. But I'm almost this close now that I'm just bored of watching. Has anyone watched any of Netflix's like original reality shows that they make, like The Circle or Love is Blind? Because people are really into those shows right now.
Watch the Love is Blind with the wife.
Okay.
It's the first reality show I've ever watched multiple episodes of. So.
Okay.
But just because you binge it, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. The concept's insane. The application of the concept is even more insane. And then all the stuff you hear about afterwards, you're like, oh, you son of a bitch. Oh, you killed me. I don't know where I'm going anymore.
I was going to say, I was actually going to start.
You've watched multiple episodes.
I think we might wrap this podcast up a little bit early, because what we're really talking about is what we're going to probably be talking about the next 4 times we record, is what we're binge watching and reading and playing. But obviously, you guys give us your feedback on that. We want to know what you guys are up to during this. You're stuck at home. We've got articles out there on projectnerd.com. We're trying to keep you entertained, trying to keep you up with all the positive side of the news. Of course, if you need the coronavirus news, go to the appropriate sources, because even certain people that get to get in front of press every day don't seem to say the true things. So make sure you're going to the CDC or the World Health Organization to get that information. If you want some entertaining pieces or information that's relevant to what's going on in geek and pop culture, we've got you covered at Project Nerd, as well as deals, top 10 lists, some fun articles, things like that. And of course, our podcast network was already set to expand like crazy this month, so may not all be right here on this feed. So if you're getting us via Apple or Google, we encourage you to go to projectnerd.com, check out the other podcasts we have with other feeds, because as of right now, we're giving you a podcast pretty much every day of the week. So you can find us over at Project Nerd Gaming. That channel just got approved on both Apple and Google, as well as Dude Suite, G-Spot, Meeple Skills, High Five, all running on their own feeds too. More Diving Deep coming back, I'm Not Famous returning, and we start recording once again Movie Night Podcast with Project Nerd. So we are doing our best to keep you entertained through this time. Feel free to head on over to projectnerd.com or wherever you get us and let us know what you want from us, what you think, and everything else that's going on. Guys, sorry to cut it short. Any final thoughts before we close?
Wash your hands.
Stay home.
Virtual high fives. I love you all.
Cough into your elbow.
All right, guys. Let's close this up. Catch you for 222 Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by the Geek Garage. Geekgarage.com.
Geek-garage.com.
Geek-garage. Just like Project Nerd. Project-nerd.com.
All the themed cars you're going to need, because there's going to be a lot of shows coming up soon.
Hey, Pro Nerds. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.